turn with us to the book of Ecclesiastes, and I want to read beginning in chapter 9 of the book of Ecclesiastes. This is a book that was written by Solomon, and it's a book that's written about his wisdom that was under the sun. And Solomon, being one of the wisest men in the world, because God had given him this wisdom, he wrote this book. He also wrote some other things. But in chapter 9 of the book of Ecclesiastes, I'd like to begin reading in verse 11. And I'd like for you to follow with us if you have your Bibles as we look. And you'll see that he observes some things. In verse 11, he says, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all." And you know the famous story of the turtle and the hare. And you know, of course, the turtle would not be nearly as swift as the rabbit would be. But it was the turtle that won the race. And then you'll see that he says that there are a lot of inequities under the sun. He continues. And in verse 12, he says, "For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them." Then he gives to us a story, a little story that's little known, not used a great deal in the Scriptures. And he says, "This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city, and few men within it. And there came a great king against it. And he besieged this little city, and he built great bulwarks against it." So here is a disastrous situation. Little bitty city, not many men are in it. And here's this great king who comes against this city. And he uses his weapons and his ingenuity to lay siege on this city. And then something really spectacular happens. In verse 15, "There was found in this little city a poor wise man." You wouldn't think that that would be very significant, would you? If you're in a little city, not many men there, and a great king comes and he lays siege to this city, you wouldn't think that a poor wise man would be of much benefit. But look what happens. This poor wise man by his wisdom delivered the city. Ingeniously and in a magnificent way, this one man with his wisdom delivered this city, saved this little city against tremendous odds, as it's implied in this story. And they had a ticker tape parade for this man. You would think they would, wouldn't you? But read further. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. They used him. They followed his plan. And by his wisdom, this little city was saved. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. And then look in verse 16 what he says. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. He saw what happened. And he recollected in his thoughts this idea, wisdom is better than strength. Look what happens in verse 16 with this poor wise man. The poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. No man remembered this poor wise man, and they say that his wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. And as he continues the chapter, he says, the words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. We can make many applications out of this story this morning. And, you think this morning at the things that the world and the religious world is celebrating in regards to Jerusalem, where the Lord Jesus arose from the dead and where he lived and ministered for a great deal. But there's turmoil there today. And there's tragedy and death. And one of the reasons is because they didn't listen to his wisdom. They didn't listen to his word. And the religious world does not do that either. Who was this poor wise man? What does the Lord want us to see this morning in regards to this? And why would the Lord, and I would like for you to note that the word, the Hebrew word for poor here, means indigent. It means so poor that you're actually suffering hardship because of this poverty. And this man, in his wisdom, delivered this little city against great odds. And I want you to think with me this morning in regards to the poor. And if you were asked this morning, what proof can you give that the Lord Jesus rose from the grave? Oh, well, you know, all kinds of proof, preacher, you know. But how can you prove that? How do you know that? The Islamic people say Muhammad was translated into heaven. Some people say Mary didn't die, the Virgin Mary, that she too was translated into heaven? What makes you know that the Lord Jesus arose from the dead? And the best proof, I guess, that we have is that everybody bought a new dress or blouse or suit or tie. But I want you to think with me in regards to this for just a moment, in regards to the word poor. Let me ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, for a moment. This same man is writing to us in a different book. And in the 13th chapter of the book of Proverbs, he gives to us sort of a paradox. And if you look with me in chapter 13, at the 7th verse, this same writer says to us, "There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing." And in the rest of this verse, he says, "There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches." So which would we be? What are we? And the aims and the goals of our life. You'd say, "Brother Royce, this doesn't make sense. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. And there is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches." Who in the world could this be? Just think of this morning in this light. This is exactly what the poor wise man was. This is his wisdom. He's teaching us something. I'm not poor this morning. I don't consider myself poor. I look at how I was raised. We didn't have a telephone. We didn't have a TV. We didn't have a car. We rented our house. You could go out in the street and lay down and go to sleep if you wanted to. There wasn't any cars coming by there. The train would occasionally wake you up blowing that whistle. And so I look at me today and I think, I'm not poor. And I can remember my dad, and he would say to me, "Royce, we're poor. All we have is the Lord. You go out and be mean and bad, and you ruin our name, and we don't have anything." And I want you to see this morning the advantages of the poor. And in the suffering and the difficulty and whatever it brings, let me read this verse to you again, and then I want you to share with me. I want to share with you some things in regards to this. "There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches." And I want to give you an example of that. Hold your hand here this morning. Turn with me to the Revelation chapter 3. Let me read to you a passage. The Lord Jesus speaks to John the Apostle and tells him to write to this church. And in chapter 3, he writes to the church that's located in a geographical area and city of Laodicea. And then he says in verse 15 of chapter 3, "I know thy works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I would that you were one or the other. And so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth." Look what he says in verse 17. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But the Lord evaluates and appraises this situation. And He says, you don't know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And here is a group that have made themselves rich and they have nothing. And this epitomizes to a great extent the apostasy that we live in today. Then turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to James chapter 2. And in James chapter 2, the Lord Jesus tells James, and he writes to us. Beginning in verse 1, he says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring, in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say to him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, and sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and become judges of evil thoughts? Then notice what he says in verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But you've despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? And do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which you are called? I never read this without I think of two instances in my life. I pastored a church once. It was raining just like it is today. We had a few more people than we do. So I guess that means I've gone downhill since then. But we had a good crowd in this church, and this deacon came up in the service as we were beginning, and he said, I saw this young couple in the parking lot, and I saw this old guy in the parking lot also, and this old wretched man came in. And he said, I just told him to stand over against the wall. But this young couple, preacher, they give a lot of money to this church. And I got them and took them and showed them a seat. And he said to me, what do you think of that? And I said, a whole lot. And I didn't say anything else then. We did part ways soon after that. And then you think of this. You would say, Brother Royce, are you saying that we need to be poor? And I'm saying yes. Not in the sense maybe you think about. Why does the Lord put such great emphasis on poor people? What does he tell us? Are we striving to attain nothing? And what kind of legacy do we leave when we are striving to do the exact opposite of what the Lord Jesus is teaching us? Look with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 for a moment. And I know I am sort of being evasive and rambling a little bit this morning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and let me read this, and I want to read a few passages to you, and then I'll close. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul speaks of the conflict and the afflictions that he has endured, and as the workers of the Lord does. And down in verse 9 of chapter 6, he says, "As unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed." And in verse 10, Paul says, "As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things." And I just wonder this morning, in regards to religion and to the Christendom as a whole, which category do we fit in? And I know that if you're visiting with us this morning, that you come to hear a resurrection message. Well, I've tried all month to do that, and I just couldn't come up with anything. You'd say, "Well, Brother Royce, you're a preacher. You're supposed to, you know." Well, you try it for a while. As poor, yet making many rich. Turn with me to chapter 8 in this same book. And look with me in verse 9 of chapter 8. And notice what our Lord says through the Apostle Paul. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich." And men say today, "I want to live like the Lord Jesus." Do you do that? Did you know that we have a lot of people who come to this church and they want money? There's not one day that I come to this church that I don't have at least one or two calls with people who want money. Some of them need money. The others are dirty bums. And we get a lot of them. And I don't know the difference. Did you know that there are a lot of poor people in the world? And you would say, do you give them money? Most of the time. "Well, preacher, you know, why would you do that?" So if you're here this morning and you need some money, see Charlie Thurman. He'll give you a dollar for sure. Wanda will get him, but he'll still he'll still give you. Did you know that if you give to the poor, you're going to get great interest? Oh, you'd say, "No, preacher, that's really..." If you give to the poor, you're going to get great interest on your money. Turn with me in your Bibles back to the book of Proverbs for a minute. Chapter 19. Let me read this to you. This is the same man that talked to us about this poor wise man. Now, I know that I'm not staying in the same line of thought, but just follow with me for a minute. Proverbs chapter 19. Read with me verse 17. Listen to this. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. You ever loan money to the Lord? But look what he says. And that which he hath given will the Lord pay him again. Now, we've got at least one banker with us this morning. And I hate to say this, but those bankers are tight. You can give them money. Now, if you're giving them money, they'll give you just... But if they're loaning you money, oh, it's good then. So, my loan is immediately due, right? Lord's not that way. The Lord will really pay you. And do you know when our Lord Jesus came and He taught, the first lesson that He taught were the Beatitudes. Do you know what the first thing He said was? In Matthew 5, in Luke chapter 4, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the greatest, one of the greatest evidences of the grace of the Lord Jesus and of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is the salvation of the poor. Do you remember when John the Baptist was in prison? And John the Baptist sent word to the Lord Jesus and said, "Are you the one we're looking for, or do we look for another?" Do you know what Jesus told him? The blind can see, and the gospel is preached to the poor. Why would he say that? What difference would that make? And the point that I want to try to make to you this morning is that having riches and having the comforts and the ease of this life, that's not the quality of your spirituality. There's no value in that. Some of these men, the homeless men in New York, when one of the Rockefellers died, and this great funeral procession came through the city, and they were there and they were overheard saying, one said to the other, "How much money do you think he left?" And this poor wise man said, "He left it all." And I know I'm running a little over this morning, but I want you to look with me for a minute back to the book of Deuteronomy. And I want you to study with me briefly, and I'll try to be really careful and hurry. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 15, this was a little law that the Lord put in place. And in Deuteronomy chapter 15, this is something that's said. In the first verse, "At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release." And this word release is a Hebrew word which means remission. It's the same word that's used in the New Testament as remission. Every 7 years, they would make a remission. And this is the manner of the release or the remission. Each creditor that lendeth aught to his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it's called the Lord's release. Now, you couldn't make a loan longer than 7 years. You couldn't have a debt that lasted each 7 years. Everything was wiped clean, and it was forgiven and remitted and gone. In verse 3, the Lord says something a little bit different. That which is thine with thy brother, thy hand shall release, save when there shall be no poor among you. Now you see verse 4? He says, this is going to be true as long as there shall be no poor among you. But he said, the Lord's going to greatly bless you in the land, and the Lord will give you an inheritance to possess it. But this law of the release was to exist till there would be no poor among them. It would last that long. But look down, if you will, to verse 11. And the Lord says, the poor shall never cease out of the land. Do you know what that meant? It meant that remission would last forever. Cleansing. And the greatest evidence of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is that you're forgiven. And there's a great deal of difference between not guilty and forgiven. Because you see, I'm guilty. But preacher, you'd say, you know, what's the difference? The difference is that the Lord knows we're guilty, and He forgives us anyway. And this morning, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're guilty, but you're forgiven. And forgiveness overrides all guilt. You can go to court, and a jury can say you're not guilty, but you might be guilty. But when you come before the Lord, He forgives you. And even though you really are guilty, He doesn't hold that against you. He cleanses you. And that's the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and of faith in Him and knowing that He died for you. And there's another advantage. When you see the poor, you're going to see the truths of the coming kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to read just three passages with me, and I promise you that I'll close unless I think of something else to say. I want you to look with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2. I will close, I promise you I will, when I get good and ready. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Let me read this to you. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, this is a lady named Hannah that's praying. And she didn't have a child, and the Lord gave her a child. His name was Samuel. And she begins to pray. And in verse 7, look what she says. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. And in verse 8, he raiseth up the poor out of the dust, lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. And that's what he does. And that's what the New Testament teaches us. And you'd say, preacher, he doesn't mention the poor in the New Testament. Yes, he does. Do you remember when Judas talked to the Lord about the lady that put the perfume on his head? It would be the equivalent of $20,000 to $30,000 that this lady put on the head of the Lord Jesus. And Judas said, and the other disciples said, this money could be saved and given to the poor. And Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. Do you know why he said that? Because of Deuteronomy 15. There'll always be a release. And someday, when our Lord Jesus comes again, it's the poor in spirit and the poor of this world that's going to enjoy the riches of that kingdom age. Now, I want to say to you this morning that it's not material goods, it's not money, it's not the majority or the popularity, it's the genuine trust in the Lord Jesus and being like He has taught us to be that will make us good subjects for His kingdom when He returns again. And I want to ask you, if you will, to stand with me for a moment. If you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ,